Keith and Helen, thanks very much for those Bible readings. Let's pray as we look at these two Bible passages. Heavenly Father, we come before you and we open our hearts and minds to you, saying, please teach us and feed us. May we see your truths this morning, and would you impress them upon our hearts. Amen. This morning's sermon is titled, Learning to Fear the Lord. And our main focus will be on Psalm 34, which Helen's just read. Do keep that open, page 561. And towards the end, we'll look at the Deuteronomy passage more briefly. 2 weeks ago, we looked at Proverbs chapter 9 and Luke chapter 12 with the title, Wisdom for Life and the Fear of God. And then last week, we studied part of 1 Peter chapter 1. How does fearing the Lord impact our lives? If you haven't heard these sermons, I do encourage you to listen to the recordings online. The teaching goes together with today's sermon. And when someone first hears the idea that it's right to fear God, it can be quite confusing. Fearing God just doesn't naturally sound right to many in 2023. And so in these weekly sermons, I try to explain and build your understanding of this important aspect of the Christian life. As I've been preparing these sermons, I've started reading this book by Jerry Bridges called The Joy of Fearing God. What an amazing book title. Many people would think it was an oxymoron. How can joy and fear go together? And in relation to God? In a way, this book title highlights the issue in our current culture and the way we see things. But if you want to go deeper with this topic of fearing the Lord, I do encourage you to read this book. I've certainly appreciated what I've read so far. And it's not an academic textbook, it's very readable. I'd say it's at the level of an engaged and thoughtful reader. Published in 1997, I don't think it's currently in print, but you can find a copy on eBay or World of Books at a reasonable price. But do watch out for Amazon, because a bunch of chancers are selling it for between £25 and £48. So don't buy it from there. So the title for today is Learning to Fear the Lord. And I've got four headings for the structure of this message and the space on page 2 of the notice sheet if you'd like to take notes. So my first point from Psalm 34. Learn to fear the Lord. Verse 11. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. This shows us that fearing God is something that we need to learn. It's something that's taught. And this is important to grasp. Some people may think that anything that there is to know about God should just come to them naturally. It should be innate inside them. But this is not the case. And we wouldn't think in this way with other areas of knowledge. Take, for instance, carpentry, computer programming, or history. With all these things, we know that we need to be taught. And it's the same with the fear of the Lord. As a Christian church committed to the Bible, we know that we need teaching from God. I think in our culture as a church, we recognize that. Many of you will know that the word disciple means learner. So as a community of Jesus' disciples, we need to learn from God. And here in Psalm 34, we see that we need to be learners in regard to the fear of God. Come, my children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. So why do we need to learn this? Well, the Bible teaches repeatedly that a day of judgment is coming, when God will judge our actions, God will bring a reckoning, and this means that how we live matters. It really matters. Verse 11 again. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Whoever loves life and desires to see many good days. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking lies. Turn from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. We want God to be for us, not against us. And this is a basic reason why we should learn to fear him. The fear of the Lord can be applied to many areas of life, but here, David applies it to learning to control our tongues, doing good, and seeking peace. So don't speak lies. That's part of fearing the Lord. Do good. Seek to live in peace with others. Now, some people employ the ethic that something's only really wrong if you get caught. Perhaps you know somebody who's like that. Or perhaps if you're honest, maybe you're like that yourself. I hope not. God sees all, and he is against those who do evil. So those who fear him will seek to behave by biblical ethics, even when there's no danger of getting caught by another person. Looking back on my own life, I can see that I had to learn the fear of the Lord as a teenager. It didn't come naturally to me. I remember a number of sinful actions in my childhood and early adolescence, which indicate to me that I had no fear of God as my judge. The theft of a toy from a department store, stealing money from my mother's purse, taking coins from my father's wardrobe. It's difficult to confess these things to you, even though they were so long ago. In spite of that, they are nevertheless shameful, and to name them, brings an emotional feeling in me. Thinking back, I don't think I'd even had the idea in my mind that God is a judge. Now, when we think back to our childhood, it's difficult with that. Maybe I'd heard it, but it hadn't gone in. But I don't think in my occasional church going and my going to chapel at school that I'd ever heard it. I had to be taught the fear of the Lord. I had to be converted to it. I feared getting caught in the shop. I feared getting caught by my parents. And I still have the visual memories of the events because of this. But I didn't fear God's justice. When I went to my senior school, I started to go to a weekly meeting where the Bible was explained. And this led into my attending annual Christian summer camps, which I very much enjoyed. And it was through these ministries and hearing the Bible explained week by week that I came to fear God. Not that I remember receiving any particular talks with the title, Fear the Lord. But through hearing the gospel of Jesus, hearing the Bible taught passage by passage, hearing preaching that included this aspect of God's character, I see in retrospect that I started to fear the Lord when I was a teenager. So in my personal experience, I needed to be taught to fear God. And this is a very important thing for us to recognize. We can easily feel or think that our families and our neighbors, wider society, should automatically know what is ethically right and wrong, and that God will judge immoral thoughts and actions. But this simply isn't the case. We don't get it just by kind of being around. We need to hear it presented to us. And all the more so because the concept of God as judge has been so rejected in Western cultures across the 20th and 21st centuries. The Church of England bishops have just recently published documents proposing that prayers and thanksgiving and blessings be permitted in church for couples in same-sex relationships. If this comes to pass, this will allow church services that look very much like weddings, where same-sex couples are affirmed that their sexual relationship is good and acceptable to God. A fundamental problem here is that talk of fearing the Lord and speaking of God as judge have become so unfashionable in British culture. It seems that because of this, the English bishops now find it impossible to speak any words of warning about anything publicly. They can only affirm. That's the only thing that's publicly allowed. Warning is not permissible. But the Bible is full of warnings about God's character and about warnings about going against his teaching. But this is completely absent from the bishop's communication. And I don't just mean on this current hot topic. I mean, looking back, I can't think the last time I ever heard a warning from a bishop except about the warning about being judgmental. We've reached an extraordinary cultural moment in the church where the bishops are proposing to publicly affirm behavior that God's word declares to be sinful. Please do pray for God's mercy on the church at this time, and that these proposals will be either retracted by the bishops or blocked by the General Synod, if that is possible. Do seek the Lord. So firstly, Psalm 34 shows us that we need to learn to fear the Lord. Secondly, fear God by actively pursuing him. Verses 1 to 10 of Psalm 34 are full of verbs, doing words, action words regarding how to relate to God. Extol the Lord, verse 1. Glorify the Lord, verse 3. Seek the Lord, verse 4. Look to him, verse 5. Call to the Lord, verse 6. Verse 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, verse 9. Cry out to the Lord, verse 17. Extol and glorify, seek and look, call and taste, take refuge, fear, cry out. Psalm 34 paints a picture of actively pursuing God in worship and prayer. The psalm speaks of fearing the Lord, even giving a command in verse 9. Fear the Lord, you saints. The word saint here is a title for God's people, rather than the Roman Catholic meaning of special venerated Christians. And in other versions of the Bible, it's translated holy ones, as Helen read it out this morning. When David wrote the psalm, he was referring to God's people, the Israelites, as the saints, descended from Abraham. And today we rightly apply this to God's people who follow Jesus Christ. Fear the Lord is a command for God's church today. But the psalm is not a picture of doom and gloom. It begins with joyful praise. I will extol the Lord at all times, meaning I'll praise him and celebrate him. And the psalm is largely about deliverance and blessing. Verse 6. This poor man called, and the Lord heard him. He saved him out of all his troubles. It's a psalm of praise for God's deliverance from the difficulties of life. God is to be feared, and God is good, verse 8. To have a biblical experience of God's character, we have to be able to hold these two things together. Fearing God and that he's good. We need to have them together in our thinking to have a right view of his character. At the same time, we should appropriately fear him, and he's good as well. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And do this experientially by taking refuge in him through prayer and worship. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in God. But what the point I want to get across is this is something we need to actively do. Just like in my first point, it doesn't happen just by kind of being around. We have to do it. And this is one of the reasons for coming to participate in church on Sundays. Each week we come together to extol the Lord in our songs, and we pray to him. Together we pray the prayer of confession, we pray the collect prayer, and we pray the Lord's Prayer. We do that together, and then a member of the church family leads us in public prayer and thanksgiving. Each week, you can take refuge in God as we meet together. And if you have particular struggles, as of course many of us do, you can bring them to God as you pray privately during the service. And then perhaps afterwards, you can share with a Christian friend during the coffee time. So the fear of the Lord involves an active pursuit of God. And verses 9 and 10 contain a wonderful statement. Do have a look with me. Fear the Lord, you saints, for those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. God provides for those who demonstrate their fear of him by seeking him in prayer. Now, a wrong, inappropriate, and untrusting fear of God will cause someone to keep away from him, keep away from church, keep away from those Christian people, and keep busy and don't think about it too much. But a true fear of God, a biblically appropriate fear, will move you towards God in the midst of your difficulties, actively pursuing him, studying the Bible to know his character and how he wants you to live, crying out to him in prayer when you're in trouble, asking the Holy Spirit to comfort you in your difficulties, being present as part of the church community. So secondly, fear God by actively pursuing him. Thirdly, seek God in prayer to be delivered from other fears. Let's have a look at verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Part of fearing God is believing that he is the sovereign creator of the world, who rules the human race. Living and praying in this reality puts other fears in their place. David gives testimony to this in this psalm. God dealing with the things he feared and delivering him from them. Now, we don't know exactly what they were. It's not specifically recorded in the psalm. And so we can use this verse to fuel our own praying. We can apply it to our own difficulties. God dealt with David's problems, and so David thanks him for this deliverance from the things that he was afraid of. We can do the same. Seek the Lord, and when it's dealt with, we give him thanks and praise. In verse 7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him, and he delivers them. God's protection is upon those who fear him. So the psalm shows us that the right response to difficulties, the response of trust, the response of appropriate fear, is to pray. Cry out to God, call on him, look to him and seek him. In the New Testament, this is wonderfully stated in the famous encouragement to pray in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, and I expect you already know it. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So seek God in prayer to be delivered from other fears. I began this morning with the importance of recognizing that each of us needs to learn to fear the Lord. And for my final point, I want to apply this to families with children living at home. And for this, I want to turn to today's first reading from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. Do turn to that if you'd like to. It's on page 185. So fourthly and finally, teach the fear of the Lord to your children. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 1 to 3. These are the commands, decrees, and laws the Lord your God directed me to teach you, to observe in the land that you're crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children, and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live, by keeping all his decrees and commands that I gave you, and so that you may enjoy long life. This is the way it was meant to be for the Israelites after they'd been redeemed from slavery in Egypt and brought in to possess the land that God had promised. Knowing God's commands enables people to fear him by keeping them. And this is why Christian parents need to talk about the content of the Bible with their children at home and to teach it to them. Verses 6 to 9 give us a lovely image of God's commands being part of a family's everyday life. Verse 6, these commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, and when you get up. Moses was telling the Israelites that talking about God's commands should be normal in family life, when you're sitting in the dining room, when you're walking to the shops, lying down before you sleep, when you get up in the morning. Christian parents, you should look to help your children to know what it is to fear the Lord. This doesn't mean talking to them in a scary way or trying to frighten them, but teaching them a realistic respect for God's character from his word. The goal is that they will live with an appropriate fear of him, which will show them their need of Jesus as their savior and guard them from foolishly stumbling into sinful behaviors. In the New Testament, Paul gives a specific command in this regard for Christian fathers. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Training and instruction. Here's the idea of nurture, of equipping, and of appropriate warning. Christian parents, these scriptures show us that it's always been a parental responsibility in God's plan to do this. However, in our generation, we particularly need to put it into practice. We cannot leave it hoping that someone else will do it for us. Every day, your children are being discipled at school and through the media they access. They receive the implicit message that either God doesn't exist, or if he does, we can't know anything definite about him. And the idea that he's a judge who it's wise to fear is completely off the agenda. So in summary, as I finish, we've seen today that we need to learn to fear the Lord. Fearing God will lead you to actively pursue him in prayer and worship, both at home on your own, in your family, and when we gather together corporately. Seeking God in prayer delivers us from other lesser fears. And Christian parents, and especially fathers, you should teach the fear of the Lord to your children. Well, let's take a moment to respond in prayer. I'll give you a moment of quiet for you to pray quietly on your own, and then I'll lead us in a prayer together. Heavenly Father, we look to you now and we seek you, asking for your help that we might have a right understanding of your character in our hearts and minds. And we pray this aspect of fearing you might be rightly positioned in our thinking, not exaggerated beyond what your word says, and not diminished and unimportant in proportion to what your word teaches. May we have a right view of you, Lord, and know how to rightly live for you. So we seek the help of your Holy Spirit to give us hearts with appropriate fear, Lord. And we pray that you stir us to actively seek you in our prayer and our worship, seeking you in our difficulties particularly, and praying that you might deliver us from our troubles. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.